All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John, the epistle, first epistle of John. It's towards the end of the New Testament, 1 John. So we're starting a new series, and I think I've been praying about what do we do and where do we go next, and I've kind of been, like you, I've kind of been overwhelmed by the culture that we live in right now. Okay, and what I mean by that is, you know, forget the political stuff for a moment. I that really is not what I'm going to talk about. But what I'm going to talk about is the culture. Whether, no matter where you are, from the right or the left, the culture. And what I sense is an overwhelming sense, no matter where people land on issues, is that it just seems to be an oppressive darkness about people. Darkness. So I hear people, you know, wherever they land, whatever the outcome's going to be in November when we have our presidential election, people have already decided it's just going to be dark. I mean, in fact, that's the message, one side and the other. No matter who wins, it's going to be dark. And Christians, what I've noticed with believers is being overwhelmed by that, being destroyed emotionally, being worked up. I mean, it's just the whole gamut of emotions, because it's like we've forgotten something. Because we're looking at the temporal. What's temporary. And we've gotten so distracted by that that we've forgotten where we should be looking and how we should be living. You know, because when it's dark, you need to turn on the light. And follow the light, right? And so that's what our series is going to be about as we go through 1 John. Walking in the light. And of course, who's the light, folks? Jesus, right? Because when this letter was written, so let me give you a background of this letter, okay? So when this letter was written, it's around AD 90, okay? So Jesus, depending on which calendar you use, may have died somewhere in AD 30 to AD 33. So this is about 57 to 60 years later that this is written. It's written by the Apostle John. He is the last of the 12. He was probably one of the youngest apostles in the group. So by this point, he's probably in his 90s. He's seen everything. All the other apostles are dead. At this point, he's living in Asia Minor, which is Turkey. And he's ministering to all of the churches there in Asia Minor. Lots of them are churches that maybe even Paul started. And it's at the end of his life. He knows that his time is coming to an end. He's going to talk to you and I about walking in the light. It's an odd letter, because if you look at Paul's letters begin with Paul to whoever it is that he's writing, right? When you read this letter, there isn't that. There's no, hi, it's me, hello to you. This is just kind of like there. It's kind of like a big giant memo that he sent out to all the churches at the time for all the believers to rest in. And they know who it's from. And why is he doing? Because in the time in which they live, you think it's darkness now? It was really dark then. An oppressive government, the Romans. They're living in a time by this point where people are saying things like Jesus wasn't a human being. He's just a spirit. You believe, they actually believe that? Yeah. Jesus was just a spirit. Didn't really get crucified, whatever. Just all kinds of lies being spread around. People are being influenced by that because they don't really know the scriptures themselves. And he's trying to minister them, telling them that in this darkness in which they live, they don't have to be overwhelmed by it. They need to start walking in the light. So he starts off this letter getting our focus back. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about getting our focus back. And when we get our focus back, then our joy is made complete. Now, I'm going to explain something to you, that in the scripture, there is a difference between happiness and joy. All of us want to be happy, right? We pursue things to create happiness in our lives. You go on vacation, why? Because you want to be happy and so forth. That's fine. But you know, when you're going through a difficult time, is it easy to be happy when you're going, oh, I just love, like I was telling the Sunday school this morning, that my basement flooded with this weather we had on Wednesday. I was really feeling happy about trying to take care of that problem. No, I wasn't feeling happy at all. But can you have joy in the midst of things? Yes. Especially if you know where your joy needs to rest in. You can still have joy. And he's telling us here at the end of this portion of scripture that we're going to look at is that in the midst of the darkness, you can have a joy that is complete because your focus is in the right place. So let's look at this together. So first thing I'm going to tell you is I'm going to talk about our overwhelmed, how overwhelmed we are. Okay, so two things I want to point out here. First thing, the reality of the darkness in our world is overwhelming. You got to recognize that. The reality of the darkness in our world is so overwhelming. You know what? Let me just go ahead and say it. I talk to everybody. Can I tell you what people are sick of right now? The election. It's been going on for 8 years. Period. Right? And people are tired of just constantly talking about that stuff. It's like you're in a restaurant and somebody's sitting there, oh, you don't mind if I bring up politics with you, and you hear the groan. Oh! It's like, it's so overwhelming. People, why? Because it's depressing to people. The subject matter, no matter where you land on it, is just depressing. And it's like they're dealing with the stuff in their normal lives, plus they're looking at this, and they're like, it's just overwhelming. So the reality of darkness in our world is overwhelming. Here's the second point. The believer can find hope in the midst of darkness. So no matter what the outcome is, no matter what the outcome's going to be, whether you like it or not, and let me just go ahead and tell you, even if you like it, it always doesn't turn out the way you think it's going to turn out. Because you live in a world of darkness. And darkness wants to prevail no matter what. And the reality is that in the midst of it, you as a believer, someone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, can have hope. Can live with hope. Not in a human being. Do you understand? Human beings are fallible. They have clay feet. They make mistakes. They do wrong things. They will disappoint you. But your hope can be in what? Something else, something greater. And that something greater, of course, we know is who? Jesus Christ. Because he's the light. So I want you to notice with me what he says here. We're just going to look at the first four verses. It's called the prologue of 1 John. Here's what he writes. It almost sounds familiar to something else he wrote. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Now, here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to talk about the main thing. Sometimes you and I need to be reminded about what the main thing is. And let me go ahead and tell you right now. The main thing isn't what you want to have happen. Bottom line, that's not the main thing. Okay? I get disappointed a lot because I make what I want to have happen the main thing. And it's like I've told you before, I haven't mentioned this to you in a while, but there's a saying in my family whenever we're trying to decide to do something, you know, and I'll say this, and my kids, even my wife will say, well, it's all about you, Dad. It's all about you. And then I have to, with that blunt statement, which is a very blunt thing for them to say, but they can say that, it brings it all back into perspective. No, this isn't all about me. This isn't all about me. And so we're going to find out what the main thing is here, and that I want you to recognize. And then we're going to see that Jesus is the message, because there's an importance for this message, okay? And then we're going to see the purpose. Why do we have Jesus, okay? Why do we have this message that we proclaim? All right, so here it is. Let's talk about the main thing. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he starts off in a very familiar way. What do you mean? He says this, that which was from the beginning. That echoes something. What do you mean? It echoes John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. If you go to his gospel, it'll be up on the screen. I want you to notice with me. Here's what it says. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So here he is, John's saying, if we go back to 1 John, that which was from the beginning, here it is. The main thing is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is alive. That's the main thing. That's the bottom line. No matter what else is happening around you, that's no matter what's going on, and no matter how much we can get in, and people are in such gloomy doomsday modes, the bottom line, the main thing, is Jesus Christ is alive. And he's the Son of God, seated on the right hand of the Father in authority. And all things have been placed under his feet. And he's alive. So he's writing these people, these churches there in Asia Minor. And he's wanting to remind them as they're being overwhelmed by persecution, people coming after them because they believe in Jesus Christ. He's telling them, look, the main thing is this one. In the beginning, there was Jesus. There was this Jesus. And sometimes you and I got to get back to the bottom line. It's Jesus. It isn't what I want. I mean, surely you have. I'm 58. Maybe I'm always not getting what I want. Maybe you've. Hopefully you've gotten to the place where you realize you don't always get what you want. You have to learn to what? Adjust. And that sometimes is difficult, right? It's difficult. But if you've got the main thing in your mind, you can get through it. So the main thing is Jesus. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Jesus is the message that brings life. Look at what he says. That which was from the beginning. So he makes a few statements here, and the reason why is because, remember, I told you there was this lie that said that Jesus didn't have a physical body. He was like a spirit. So he says, that which was from the beginning, talk about Jesus, which we have heard, so we heard him, okay? Which we have seen, so we saw him with our own eyes. Well, he could have been a spirit that you saw. No, look at what he says. Which we looked upon and have touched with our hands. So meaning we touched him. He had a physical body. The resurrected Jesus had a physical body, okay? Which we have concerning the word of life. That's an interesting statement. The word of life. That's who he's talking about, Jesus. Here it is. Jesus is the message. That's the word of life that brings life. How do we know that? Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Okay. Here's what he says. Holding fast to the word of life so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. So Paul there's made, this is Paul talking about holding forth the word of life, that message, so that when he goes to be with Jesus, it wasn't in vain. He was holding on because he's the message. Jesus is the message that brings life. He's the message. Jesus is. So let me tell you what's not the message. The message isn't pray a prayer. Do you understand? The message isn't, do you not want to go to hell? Just pray this prayer. That's not a message. The message is a person. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one who saves. He's the one who you have to put your trust and faith in. The Son of God. He is the main thing. So then he goes on now in verse 2 through 3. He's going to talk about that message. Oh, I forgot to, John 14. Again, here's this, concerning Jesus being the message. Jesus said this, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. For now on, from now on, you know him and have seen him. So he's it. This is it, God. So here's the message. All right, look with me at verse 2 to 3. Let's look at what he says here. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify it to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. All right, two things I want you to see here. Here's the first one. Jesus' life was a testimony to the eternal life with the Father. You want to know about what eternal life is? Look at Jesus' life. You want to know what it's going to be like for you and I later on when we die and leave aside this body? Look at Jesus Christ. You're going to get a glorified body like he did. That's your hope. You have a hope beyond this life. I find so many people get so invested in now that they forget that now is only temporary. Do you understand? Now is only temporary. And now changes, gets run down, has to be constantly repaired. Like Lori and I, we've been in the house that we've been living in over 23 years now. And so there were things that we did when we first moved in. We painted, we did this, put carpet here, and we did this project or whatever, and took care of this bathroom. Well, after 23 years, guess what we're needing to do? Redo some of the stuff that we did before. I'm a dude, so a dude thinks it's going to last forever. Ladies, you are a lot wiser than we are, okay? Because that's not going to last forever. Stuff breaks, stuff wears down, stuff needs to be taken care of. And so that's the reality of this world in which we live in. Quit banking on this world. It's not always going to stay the same. It's not always going to stay the same. Things change. But you say, well, that's just terrible. Yes, it is. But you can still have hope in that, because you're looking to somebody who has shown you there's a future. There's a hope. It's Jesus. Jesus' life was a testimony of what we're going to have with him, the eternal life we have with him. Here's the second thing. Through the message, we can have an intimate relationship with God. Through that message. Look at what he says there. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with him. John's saying, look, I'm writing you these things. I'm telling you these things. I'm telling you it's Jesus. He's the main thing. Why? So that you too can have an intimate relationship with him. So that you can go and talk to him. You feeling gloomy? Go talk to him. You don't understand? Go talk to him. Doesn't mean he's going to give you a direct answer. But there's something about being there and just letting your feelings be known. So let me stop. Let me dwell there for a moment. I find it very interesting. I deal with a lot of people, so therefore I have to be a student of humanity. Really, I have to be a student of myself. And what I've realized is it doesn't matter even how deep the relationship is. So, like last night, Lori and I, we just had a brief conversation about something, and so she asked me a question, I gave her an answer, and so I answered her question. We went on and did whatever we were doing. But then, you know, I thought, you know, I gave her that answer, but I can't convey to her what I mean by that answer. I can't convey to her what I'm thinking, my emotions, my whatever. Do you understand? We can somewhat, but does anybody ever truly understand what the other person is saying? No. No. So therefore, even though we pour out our hearts to people, and that wasn't a conversation where you pour out your heart, okay? Even though we pour out our hearts to people, have you ever walked away from, quote, pouring out your heart and you just feel like nobody understands? Nobody understands? Nobody knows exactly how I'm feeling? Even though you poured it all out, you know what I'm saying? You vomited on somebody or whatever. Nobody understands? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. There is someone who understands. And that person is Jesus. Scripture testifies continually over and over about that. That he can empathize with us. He sympathizes with us because he, like us, was tempted but yet without sin. He knows exactly how you're feeling. He knows your exact emotions. So when you go to him, you could go to him and lay it all out there for him in that intimacy of the moment and know that he what? He understands. He hears you. And you don't even need to necessarily need to know that he gives you an answer. Sometimes it's just the peace. That's what gets me through a lot of things, is knowing that I go to him and he gives me a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it gives me strength for just another day. So through the message, we can have this intimate relationship. This is what he's trying to tell us here. Okay? This is what he's trying to tell us. So then, why is John spending his time here? So this is where he gets to the purpose, verse 4. Let me read to you verse 4 again, okay? And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. All right? So two things I'm going to point out here. Two things, one from his perspective and then from our perspective. But the one from his perspective can also be your perspective. Here's what it is. Here's the first one. There is no greater joy than seeing others enter the relationship with God. There's no greater joy. That's what he says here. Look what he says here specifically. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Our joy, what? He has a joy in knowing that others are entering into that relationship with Jesus. Can I tell you what brings me joy? Okay? Can I tell you what brings me joy? Is watching you grow. That brings me joy. You may think it's casual conversation to say something like this. You know, well, I was reading in this book, in God's Word, that brings me joy. Wow, Lord, they were reading. Hey, I just finished that Bible plan, George. That brings me joy. That brings me joy. Hey, been doing that reading through the Psalms thing, George, and that's really been helpful. Brings me joy. Brings me joy knowing that you are growing closer to him. That's Paul's perspective. That's my perspective. That would be your perspective, too, if you were reaching out towards others and sharing with them. The greatest joy that we can experience is when we see people enter into the relationship for what, the first time, when somebody gets saved. That brings a joy, doesn't it? This is what he wants. He says, you can have joy in the Lord. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Again, here it is. This testimony is given to complete our joy. So here it is. Okay, so I don't know what's going on in your life. I told you what's going on in my life. We spent the afternoon yesterday cleaning up the basement after we got water drained out. Some pumps still going. Probably still going right now while I'm talking to you, because there's just lots of water, and that happens when you live down by a creek. But okay, so stuff may be going on in your life and you're not feeling any joy at all. You're not happy at all. I'm not talking about happiness. Your life may be upside down because you got bill collectors coming and you don't know what to do, and it just seems dark and you're just overwhelmed by this and this is happening and all this stuff, and you're even fearful. How in the world can I be happy in that? I'm not asking you to be happy in that. So the Bible doesn't call you to be happy. The Bible does say you can have joy and have it complete. But the joy we have is in who? Jesus. The main thing. That's what gives us joy. You know that. You live it practically every day. So guess what? This is August. Getting towards September. Bow season starting. Some of you guys are going to be already ready. You're looking at your trail cams. You're replanting your food plots. You've got yourselves, you're scoping out where that buck is, and you're like, man, I'm looking for it. And then you get him. And it's the biggest rack ever that you have ever taken. And you have joy. You're like, oh. And you're like cutting the head off and getting it mounted, or you're chopping off those antlers and bringing them, showing them to people. You're taking pictures of it. Everybody in the county knows. And you have joy for 24 hours. But then it's over. Then next year rolls around. What do you do now? Go back out there, right? Try to pursue that joy. But when you're going through difficult times, I can tell you right now, you're not thinking about the buck you took. That's not getting you through it, right? That's not bringing you joy, man. Things may be rotten right now, but I got that rack. It's sitting in my house. My wife doesn't like it, but it's sitting in the living room. No, that doesn't bring you joy. That doesn't bring joy to you. That doesn't sustain you through the darkness, right? He's telling you these things to tell you that there's Jesus. He's alive. And he wants to interact with you. And that brings you joy no matter how dark the world is. Because didn't what Jesus said in John 14? I am the way, the truth, and the light. So you say, okay, George, what do we do with this? All right, two things. You got to ask yourself this question. First of all, number one, are you distracted by the darkness? Are you distracted by the darkness? What do you mean? Well, take a look at your day. What are you consumed with? What the latest news is? What the latest podcast is? What the latest thing is to keep you on track of what's going on. By the way, the news is the same thing every day. This person's wrong. This person's crazy. This person did this. This nation's upset. This person's going to war. That's the news every day, period. You understand? Hasn't changed. You go 2 days without the news, turn it on the third day, you're going to see nothing's changed. It's the same place. So are you distracted by the darkness? And with that question comes a sub-question. So this isn't the second one. If you're distracted by it, what's it doing to you? What's it doing to you and the relationships around you? Do you understand what I'm saying? What's it doing to you and the relationships around you? And if that's true, that you are distracted, and if it's true that it is affecting the relationships around you, I'm going to tell you who won. The darkness won. Because it accomplished what the darkness wanted to accomplish, and that was to distract you and affect you. So the question is, are you distracted? Here's the second one, okay? Here's the second thing I want you to focus on. Are you making Jesus the main thing again? Are you making Jesus the main thing again in your lives? You might be distracted, it might be affecting you, but the question is, are you making Jesus the main thing? Now, what do you mean, the main thing? What I'm saying is are you getting your eyes back on him no matter what happens around you? And even with the darkness that's happening in your life, are you getting your eyes back on him so that you again have a joy, even in the midst of difficulty? Now, what are you talking about, George? You know, one of the things that's interesting, I've been places around the world. I'm getting ready to go to another place, another country I've never been to here in October. And I've been to places in the Caribbean, in Haiti. That is a place of darkness. Been to places over in Asia and so forth, and I meet believers who are living in darkness, are experiencing darkness. And I'm almost embarrassed to be with them. Because what I see in their life, even when they tell me their situations, I have had people sitting there telling me with tears what they're enduring at the hands of their government, or what they're enduring at the hands of the people in their community because they believe in Jesus Christ. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this. I feel embarrassed to be there. Why am I embarrassed to be there? Because no sooner than that conversation is over, here's what I see in their life that is missing sometimes, a lot of times in my life. Joy. Because I look at them and I think, man, they're in a terrible situation. But yet they have joy. And it reminds me of the scripture. Weeping endures for the evening, but joy comes in the morning. They live it. Question is, are we living it? That's because if we're not, Jesus isn't the main thing anymore with us. Is he the main thing? So are you distracted? How's that affecting others around you? And are you going to make Jesus the main thing now? And if we make that decision, we begin to start walking in the light. Because who said he was the light? Jesus is the light, right? Something for you and I to think about, okay? Really think about. Let me pray for you.